Hello, Sudbury. It's David Kurt back on the mic. It's been a long while. I took a little bit of a hiatus. I've still been writing my weekly blog. For those that haven't got a chance to listen to me, you've still been able to read me, but I've just been busy with life and everything else that's going on. So I apologize, but welcome back to another episode of the Sudbury Real Estate Podcast. Quick question for you though. Did you see the Northern Lights this week? Honestly, it was one of the best light shows I've seen for a long time. I think it was Wednesday night or something like that. It was that crisp, cool night with the clear sky. It just made for a perfect setting for those dancing lights in the stars, a dancing light in the skies. On a local level, well, we got the announcement this week that Valet made a contract with, well, we got the announcement a few months ago that Valet made the contract with Tesla to supply raw nickel for raw material of nickel for their batteries. But that similar announcement came this week with GM. Apparently, starting in Q3 of 2026, they've earmarked tons and tons of nickel raw material for the General Motors next fleet of electric batteries. Just another optimistic, good sign of things moving ahead for Sudbury. I spoke to a few people in Valet recently, and it's just the optimism that's there. And they're using over the next three decades, so 30 years. They're just so bullish on where Valet as a company is going, especially when it comes to the Sudbury operations, which, again, is just going to be good news for Sudbury in the long term. We also saw a new council and mayor sworn into the office. And with it, I personally have a lot of optimism and hope. I think that we're seeing a very competent and excited mayor who has the ability to really shake things up and make some progress from our local municipal politics. Regardless of your thoughts about the individuals, they give up a ton of their time and energy for very little payment, and I respect anyone who puts their community before themselves. I don't believe in a lot of the councilors' actions or beliefs, but I respect that the work they put into the job, and I hope you give them the same. On a national level, we had CPI print come in this week, and it was interesting to break down some of the individual measures that are used to analyze their full basket of inflation. Some of the most interesting notes, though, is I follow the numbers. I hope that you guys are educated on these numbers because I keep on reinforcing these as well. But housing prices have peaked about February or March in this year. So we know that those peaked at that time. But rents have been going up every single month from what it seems like. And everything as a tenant, with inflation, the cost of living is getting more and more expensive. But this CPI print kind of disputed that. This CPI print kind of said that rents have peaked, and this is the first time we've seen this shakeout into the economy. I'm a small landlord myself, and I've had a lot of conversation with other landlords, and they're echoing the story that they aren't seeing that happen in the Sudbury marketplace. But maybe this is almost like a leading edge, and it's not happening for the apartments that we rented 2 months ago. It's the apartments that are being rented today. And I think what's happened here, especially if we look on a national level, is tenants are tapped out. They've been there, they've lined up, they've paid the crazy amounts, they've paid rental application fees, and they've said, we've at the point where we've hit a breaking point and we can't afford any more rent. And that makes sense to me. But the interesting part is we're not seeing it locally, anecdotally at least. And is that just because it's a sign of foreshadowing what's going to come? Or is it just that Sudbury, is this just another story of how Sudbury does not follow what happens on the national scale? And we've also often had that conversation, especially internally in our office, that Sudbury acts different than the rest of the national economy. Things can be so strong in Toronto and across Canada, and Sudbury can be in this little bit of a rut where we're having a tough time breaking out. And the opposite can be applied as well, where the rest of the country is doing very, very tough and tough times and poor, but Sudbury can be isolated enough that we stand tall based on the local economic factors. So I don't know what's exactly playing out here, but it's interesting to note that rent is on its way down. And that was one of the things that really needed to come down in my mind to get that basket of goods and that inflation numbers back to reality. Well, let's jump into what's happening on our local real estate marketplace. Our stats from our last week show that we've had 31 sales, 15 additional conditional or pending deals, 18 of those 31 sales happened in multiple offers, 41 new listings and 227 total listings. How does that measure up to last week? Last week we had 40 sales. So this week's 31 sales are down considerably, about 25%. Last week we had 25 pending deals. This week we have 15. 53 new listings last week and 41 new listings this week. So not only sales are down about 25%, new listings are down about 25% as well. And total listings are actually up by 5 this week. But let's jump into it. What are my 5 takeaways this week? Cue the Game of Thrones music, with the focus on being winter is coming, both physically as we look around and there's snow that sits on the ground now. And I've had that battle with my kids every single day this week to get the snow pans on and the mitts and the hats on as they get ready for school, but also from a real estate winter, which I think is coming quicker than most agents can imagine. Takeaway 2, the city of Sudbury has been selling off properties that owe for back taxes for years now, but coming out of the pandemic, they had a hold on a lot of sales until recently. The city is targeting apparently every 6 months to put a full list of properties up for auction to the top bidder. And buyers should be aware that buying them, they get all the local municipal liens, like municipal taxes and mortgages are going to be discharged. Any contractor liens would be paid off. But what isn't discharged on these properties is provincial or federal liens, which basically lines up as income taxes registered on title. The last auction actually saw 15 properties hit the auction block. Most of them are just abandoned lots or derelict condemned buildings, but caution was needed with a lot of these potential properties, as it seems that there was more than a few of them that had potential environmental damage, a lot of old abandoned gas stations. The one that I was actually most interested about and I almost put an offer on was the old Husky station in Lively. It hit the market with a minimum bid of $50,000. And I actually thought nobody would dare touch the property. Just anecdotally, it seemed like people were saying there's millions and millions of dollars to remove those old oil tanks. Well, somebody jumped at the opportunity. They spent over $150,000 to make sure they got it. And that's an exciting property that I'm energetic and excited to see what's going to happen, as I think this is kind of one of the stains on Lively. This is where I live in the community right now, is whenever you drive past on the way to Naughton, you see this just abandoned big hunk of land. I think it's got so much potential to put, it's a C2 zoning, so something commercial can go in there, I'm excited to see what this owner is going to be doing, but they're going to be undertaking themselves quite a big project with those removal of the tanks, at least from what it sounds like. There was actually 2 houses that were on the list of properties, and I hate to see when houses are up for back taxes, as you know, to see somebody scoop in and pay $80,000 or $60,000 for a property that's probably worth $200,000 minimum in the market today. But on a positive note, they have right up until the time of the actual closing, and even if a buyer puts an offer on these properties, the seller can still make good on their back taxes. And then take away the ability for these purchasers to buy. And both of the actual houses were removed from the auction block moments before they were listed, which I actually am a big fan of. This means that people are catching up or able to get access to some money to pay off these loans, and then maybe they can go and sell these houses and pocket the rest of the money. Really interesting to see, though. Take a look. The City of Sudbury website has a list of these, and it appears that it comes up about every 6 months. Speaking to a few people in in the local community that are following them, they've seen a really big spike of properties post COVID and a ton of investors coming in from Southern Ontario in the past few bids. And speaking to a few people, that was not quite the case with this most recent round of auctions. Takeaway 3, what a crazy last 12 months in the real estate marketplace. Sometimes it feels like we move a million steps just to get back to where we started. And that's what I saw when I looked at prices from the last 12 months. If you follow my blog or online, I put a little snapshot of what the market looks like over the last 12 months. And October 2021, we were at a 403,200 from an average price point. This isn't from my stats. This is from the Korea stats. And I don't believe everything with Korea stats because I think we were closer to about 415 or 420. But again, I'm using apples to apples when I'm using that home price index. And at first I was actually a pretty, this HPI or home price index is statistics that the Canadian Real Estate Association releases specific to the Sudbury market that all realtors have access to. And I was kind of a big naysayer on them at first, but I've been really enjoying these things. I've been enjoying the comparison of where the market was and where the market is now. Is it up? Is it down? What percentage has it increased or what percentage has it decreased? But that's just a little side note. So in October 2021, we were at 403,200. We actually saw a massive spike with 20% plus increases in prices right up to like what in actuality, I believe was around 515. The Korea stats show us at 480,000 price range. And then right back down to earth where we sit October 2022. So 12 months later, 12 months after we were at 403,200, in October 2022, the last stat that I have for Korea stats was at 402,800, a decrease of $400 from 12 months ago. I just, when I see stats like this, I recall growing up and like learning the game of football and playing football. And sometimes as a running back, you'd have the ball and you'd run, you'd try to get around all these players and you'd run side to side to side. And you're running, you're probably running like, you know, 500, like five football fields side to side to only get 2 yards in the front or 2 yards behind kind of thing. And that's why they always said, go north to south, not east to west as a football player. But that's kind of what I feel like is we've gone side to side, like all this prices up, prices down to get to right back where we started 12 months ago. Takeaway four, financial markets, markets like stock markets, bond markets, and index funds, they're very efficient. And if a company's not performing, the marketplace acts immediately to react to that news and the stock price is adjusted. Housing market is not efficient. When interest rates go up and the cost of borrowing is higher, buyers may expect lower prices, but many sellers aren't investors. There are families who have no intention to move, so those ones aren't going to change in price. And they're not going to say, oh, now that house, interest rates are up, I'm going to take my family and I'm going to sell our house at a loss. But there is a lot of investor proper place, and those investors that are invested in the marketplace, and those investors may have owned for many years and may have a different cost of capital or initial purchase price or refinance value. They didn't refinance at the peaks, and maybe they did. And even if they did refinance at the peak, or if they did buy at the peak, that would be what I call as an investment that's underwater. The market sale price is less than what the investor owes on the property. But often the rents are covering the payments, and the investor is still able to get their percentage return on investment, and they're happy. This is why it's difficult for house prices or investment properties to crater. Further to that, you have to have a stable of, currently right now, there's so many people I'm talking with that are sitting on the sidelines waiting to jump on properties. The amount of people that have become interested in real estate over the last half a decade is insane. You've been to dinner parties, you've been to barbecues, you've been to friends' birthday parties, and everybody wants to talk about real estate. So this is the first time we're actually seeing the pullback happen, but it's also increased the number of people that are on the sidelines saying, oh, I'd love to do that given the opportunity. And I'm going to put myself in this basket here too, because I'm sitting here with access to money, ready to jump on an opportunity if I see a good one out there. The cost of financing has increased for sure, which is making my cost higher as an investor to get these properties, but there are more investors and wannabe investors than ever before. And this is one reason I'm bullish about real estate in the long term. Where does the market go from here? My fifth takeaway every week. One of my favorite weekly listens, the All In podcast, was chatting about when as an investor, you want to be ready on the sidelines with cash ready to inject in the marketplace. And Shamath, one of my favorite personalities, and actually he's a fellow Canadian as well, said that he wants to be ready with cash on the sidelines in Q1 of 2025. And I had to re-listen to that because I said, what? Yeah, almost 3 years from now is when he wants to be ready to jump in the marketplace. I think there are too many people that think this is a blip in the market and we're going to get corrected by mid to late next year. Even a lot of sellers that I'm talking with and chatting with and have conversations with a lot of our agents in the office that are talking with and chatting with, they're saying that they're excited to wait for the spring or summer market in 2023 as they want to get back to that shift to back towards the seller's market, back to where the market's going to be somewhat normal. I think this is a misread on when things are going to go back, quote unquote, back to normal in the housing market. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb to say we won't see the market in Q1 2022 again for decades. The combination of free money, which is basically zero interest loans, compounded with a surplus of savings, people sitting at home and not spending over the pandemic, and more importantly, that FOMO, that fear of missing out, that drove prices up. Get in the market now or you'll miss your chance. I can't stand every agent that was saying, when was the best time to buy a house? Was yesterday. You got to get in and you're making a mistake by not getting in. I don't think we're going to see that happen again until I'm old and gray. And I'm already a little bit old, I guess, and a few grays. But until I'm like in my, until my kids are at the point where they're starting to turn gray. It is interesting to note that the Bank of Canada made a comment that it takes 6 months for an economy to react to a single rate increase. We're barely 6 months removed from the initial hockey stick increases we've seen from the north, from the Bank of Canada north of the border. As I kind of reflect and trying to get out, if I had to summarize this this fifth bullet point in a few words, I think that short term we're going to be much worse than people think. And in the same time, long-term, that 3 years plus, according to Shamath on that All In podcast, things are going to be much better than we could think. Well, that's my thoughts for the housing market this week, guys. Not financial advice. Don't construe this. If you want to actually have some advice on how your position is affected, whether it's you as a buyer or seller and where you are in the marketplace, feel free to reach out. I'd love to connect you with some of our agents. But until then, we'll look to chat. Hopefully, I'll be on the bank next week, Sedbury. And I know that one of my favorite shows we do every year is going to be our reflection of our predictions we made and our predictions for 2023 as well. So look forward to that coming in the next few weeks as well. Until next week, Sedbury, see you later.